Duology Theater was made possible by producer Nolan Matten. Thank you, Nolan. It was also made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome. Welcome to our new series.
Yes. What the hell is it called?
Duology Theater, Tom.
Duology Theater.
Yeah. It's like Masterpiece Theater, I'm told. I perfectly edited our intro to reflect that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect parody.
Right. The very seriousness and weight of this show. This is a very important show. Capital letters, very important.
And you might be asking, hey, didn't Small Beans do a Masterpiece Theater parody? To which I say, yes. They did. But this was requested of us with this name and tone specifically. So we're going to do it. God damn it.
So the basic premise is, in this series, we're going to be looking at a film series that consists of two movies.
That's correct. Only two movies. No more, mm-hmm. no less.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be going through each film and then ending the month talking about that series as a whole. It's March, and we've decided to start with the series The Raid.
Yeah, directed by Gareth Evans.
It is.
The Raid Redemption and The Raid 2.
Yeah. The Raid Redemption, right away, the title confuses me every time.
Well, it's because they couldn't secure the rights to the title The Raid.
Oh. It's the only reason it confuses me, and I'm sure you already know, is because I constantly think it's the sequel.
Right.
Or the third one.
Yeah, it's odd that it has a subtitle.
It really is.
The original Indonesian title apparently translates to The Brutal Raid.
Oh, they didn't want to call it that.
And I get it. I see why. It doesn't quite, like, The Raid is better than The Brutal Raid in English. It's a better title.
I suppose you're right.
Yeah.
The Brutal Raid does have this, I don't know. Something about that sounds way less appealing, even though it is very true.
It's a 100% accurate description of the events of this film, yes. If you've not seen it, what the hell is wrong with you? Stop this immediately and go watch it, you clown, you absolute clown.
Wasting
your life not watching The Raid.
You should be watching The Raid.
You really should be watching The Raid.
I don't know why you're not watching The Raid.
No, I don't know what the hell your problem is or why you would even bother to show your face in here like that, disrespecting us by coming in here and not having seen The Raid. What the hell is your problem?
Mm-hmm. Everything Tom said.
Yeah.
Everything.
What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, for the most part, we're just going to probably assume people have watched these movies.
Oh, yeah. We won't be able to, just because of the nature of the show, we won't be able to get like a real detailed beat-by-beat plot analysis, but I guess we could. But like, I think it'd be more fun to talk about some other aspects of the movie that we normally don't cover in a We Just Watched.
Sure. You've seen this movie a lot, haven't you, Tom?
I have seen this movie many, many times. And that's largely because Marina is one of those people who fixates on a movie.
Yeah.
It's partially that, and it's also partially because she has memory issues.
Right.
So it's like a comfort thing for her. Anyway, she tends to rewatch movies she likes constantly. And The Raid and The Raid 2 are two of those movies that she rewatches constantly.
So
I have probably seen this movie over 20 times.
Okay. I was going to ask for a number.
Yeah, probably 20 or more.
Okay. I've only seen this movie maybe 3 times. Which is not enough.
It really isn't. This movie is so good. And it just it goes by so quickly.
Yeah, it's an hour 40. And it really didn't feel that way.
No, it shoots by.
Yeah. I don't know why. I assume it's just...
Because of the pacing, I think.
The pacing, there's not... They don't overcomplicate the plot, but there's a plot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certainly enough of a plot, and it... The fighting scenes are very relaxing to watch, I think, which maybe other people will say the opposite.
Odd way to describe them, yeah.
Well, okay. I guess that's one of the first things I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the dynamic of between the characters in terms of good versus evil, and the fact that it obviously they show the cops are dirty as well as the criminals. Some of the people living in the apartments are good.
Mm-hmm.
Some are junkies. Some are bad. There's a certain politeness to the villains here and there, and there's that. That's like the obvious stuff. The what pops out at me is the fighting dynamic is often reversed of what you'd expect. For example, and I do not remember his name, but the guy who kicks everybody's ass,
Mad Dog.
Mad Dog, yes. They, his, like the dynamics of the fights he has,
mm-hmm.
makes him often, like it would be something the good guy would be. Like the one, when he's fighting against the two of them at the end,
yeah.
that feels like he should be the good guy.
Right, because he's in a handicap match, but he's beating the fucking Christ out of those guys.
Yes, he is.
And when he fights Jaka, Jock is like twice his size.
Yeah, and he's kind, and he's also an asshole.
Yeah.
And so they do this thing where I think what makes the fighting relaxing for me is it feels like it's framed of just like how fucking cool are these people?
All the fighting in this movie was coordinated by Mad Dog, whose name is Yayan Ruhian. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. But it was coordinated by him and by Iko Uwais, who is okay. the main character, Rama.
And Mad Dog is the gentleman who is after Han Solo, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Him and Iko Uwais.
Really?
They're both in Force Awakens.
It's a real waste of those two guys.
Yeah, I was like, why put those guys in the movie if they're not going to beat the shit out of anyone?
That said, I'm sure they were happy to be in a Star Wars and get a paycheck. Like, I'm sure it wasn't a waste of them. I'm sure it was like, well, we either hire just a couple of schmucks, or why not hire these two guys? They're awesome.
Right, yeah. I'm sure it's because J.J. Abrams was a fan of the raid.
Yeah.
Yayan Mad Dog is also one of the two guys working for Mark Dacascos that fights John Wick in John Wick 3.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Wait, so he has a John Wick fight?
Yeah, you remember in the end of John Wick 3 when he's fighting those two guys that are the crazy martial
yes,
artists?
And they're like really into him.
Right, yeah, they keep helping him up. Mad Dog is one of them, and the other guy his character doesn't have a name, but he's one of the bad guys in the raid too.
Okay, that checks out.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I think the movie knew he was kind of the star of the movie in his own way.
Well, they build him up like a Western villain.
Yeah.
Like, because as they're driving to the building in the beginning, when Jaka, the sergeant, is telling them all what they're going to do, he mentions them both by name. He mentions Andy, who is Rama's brother, as being like, he's like the smart one. And then you got Mad Dog, who's just a wild animal. So they build Mad Dog up for a bit before you get to see him do anything.
Yeah.
And then he's just crazy. Like, he beats the brakes off of Jaka and then off of both Rama and Andy at the same time in the end, which is...
Yeah, he beats the shit out of them.
they
have to work very hard to kill him. They stab him in the neck. That doesn't do it.
No, he's still coming. He's got the light bulb in his neck and blood is shooting out of it. He's still kicking the hell out of him.
And I think that's why, again, I go back to it being relaxing is because it's... Like, the gore in this is very violent.
Yes.
And it's not over the top, and yet it is enough so that, like, when something happens, you kind of laugh because it's so gruesome. And you just want to see the fights keep going. So, like, when they stab him in the neck, I was just like, aw. And then he keeps going.
And then he keeps going. Like, yeah! Yeah.
Get him, bad guy. Get him.
Because
the movie, it's just that the movie knows exactly why you're watching it. And it doesn't wink at you. It doesn't make the character stuff and the story dumber for that reason.
No.
I would argue that like John Wick does that a lot, where John Wick is like, they kind of know how dumb it is. This, they just went for simplicity.
Right. And the characters and the story are treated very seriously. And that's even more so in The Raid 2.
Yeah. That's another thing about this movie, watching it again, that really struck me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's really well acted.
It is.
Yeah. It's really necessary, too. That it's that well acted.
Right, because so much of it is, I mean, it's the classic trope of the Die Hard, where it's like it's one guy against an army, basically.
Right.
So you gotta, it's all, so much of it is just based on him and his reactions to the situation to sell the tension of it. Like the scene when he has to hide in the wall with the injured guy.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah, and then I don't think the character ever gets a name, but like Crazy Eyes, you know, the leader of the machete gang,
yeah.
Who has these crazy, the eyes are like bugging out of his head.
He's got the meth dealer eyes.
Right. He looks amazing. Like you would walk by that guy and be like, he needs to be in our movie right away. Look at him.
Yeah.
I don't care. Give him machete. He can be the leader of the machete gang.
And that's what he is.
Yeah, he's the leader of the machete gang. Yeah, it's such a good sequence where he's just stabbing into the wall, and it actually cuts Rama, and he has to wipe his blood off of the blade, off of the machete, as the guy pulls it back out of the wall.
Right, and when he's reaching his hand up, mm-hmm. his hand's trembling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's really trembling. It doesn't look like an actor pretending to be trembling. I mean, that's obviously what it is, but he's doing a very good job at that. And that's the thing, is that the acting really comes into play during the fighting, during those moments where they look just truly fucking scared.
Yeah.
And no one, like, there's no, it's no one's such a badass that they're just like, I can handle it.
No, no. Yeah. I really like that. It's one of the things I really like about this movie is, he is like a super badass, but like, he's never walking through there like John Matrix. He's always scrambling like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit.
Yeah. The violence is messy and kind of definitely scary. Like, mm-hmm. gunfights aren't treated as a cool thing in this. I mean, they're filmed, or like the sequences are definitely these like gangster action sequences, but the way they're shot is almost more sinister.
They're shot like a horror movie.
Yeah, guns are like monsters coming out at you. And when people are shot, it looks gruesome.
Yeah, it's terrible. Like the scene where they're in the stairwell and you can see just out of the light above them is just a swarm of dudes with guns aimed down at them.
Yeah, and when they're shooting, it's like that's the only light on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frantic and it's scary.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that. I'd say the times when I thought that they weren't achieving that, and it might have been on purpose, was when they would slow things down. They didn't do it much.
Mm-hmm.
But like when the kid runs out and he's like, police, and then he gets shot in the neck.
Shot in the neck, that's so good.
Yeah, I mean, that other kid watching him, because the kid, they stop the kid in the hall and the kid freezes, and then they do this like, we're not going to hurt you, and the kid runs for it, and he runs into the stairwell and he goes, police, as the bad cop shoots through the door, and he gets shot in the neck, and it's all in slow motion, and you look up and there's another kid that he was yelling at who watches it happen,
mm-hmm.
and just thinking of it from that kid's perspective, like, he has changed.
Oh,
that kid has changed. Because his friend just runs and goes, police, and then his neck explodes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that.
And then he runs and hits the alarm.
Yeah. And so they do, since like they make the cops clearly dirty.
Well, it's the one. It's the lieutenant.
Yeah, it's the one that looks kind of like Vincent D'Onofrio.
He does.
Yeah.
He looks very out of place. He's wearing a golf shirt.
Yeah, he's got gray like Duke Nukem hair. He looks so out of place. Every scene he's in, I'm like, oh, are you going to be okay, man? Like, are you all right? Are you feeling okay? How's your chest feel? Like, you're sweaty. You're like 60. Yeah. What are you doing in all of this? You need to get out of here, man.
Have you seen what these guys are doing? You sure you're all right?
And he has a fight scene.
He does. He beats a guy with a chair.
Yeah, he fights like a drunk bear. Like they figure out how to use him. I don't know if that guy has martial arts experience. This is one of those worlds where you just accept everybody knows martial arts.
Right. I assume no for that reason, because everybody in this world does know martial arts unless they explicitly don't.
Right. It's weird if they don't, I think.
Yeah, so it's like him and the main bad guy don't.
Yes, but he still fights. And even the martial arts, again, going back to like how the fights are choreographed, there's this odd desperation where they'll like tackle each other, they'll grab each other. It's always two people like really trying to kill each other.
Yeah, so when it happens, it's so gruesome.
Yeah, like, and it's...
There's so much stuff. Like when he cuts the guy's leg open vertically with his knife.
Oh, man.
When he does, like, when they've broken through the door and the bottom is just jagged wood, and he fucking, like, diamond cutters a guy onto it so his neck is impaled on the wood.
It's pretty amazing, because even he is upset with himself when he does that.
It's horrible.
Because he's just face-to-face with this guy after he's impaled his neck on the door, and he has this face of just like, okay, like, I hate this. It's nobody enjoys it.
No, it's awful.
Well, except for Mad Dog. He enjoys
Mad
it.
Mad Dog loves his job.
And his performance, the way he does things, when he the first cop, when he points the gun at him and he has him drop his knife, and he slowly brings him in the room and he unloads the gun, and he's got this like patience to him that I love when he's beating the guy up, the brother up on the chain, and then the other brother comes in. And Mad Dog's just like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, he walks away. He helps. He slowly releases the chain so he can get his brother.
And he like motions for them to spread out a little bit.
Yeah.
He's like,
and
all
then
right.
he slowly brings the chain back up.
Yeah.
He's like making sure the area is clear because he's just here to fight.
Yeah.
That's all he wants.
He's Mad Dog.
He's
Mad Dog.
And his performance is... like, I think really good. There's that thing where a martial arts expert might not be the best actor, but he does a great job.
He does, particularly in The Raid 2. He plays a different character.
That checks out. He would be a different character.
Yeah,
but they wouldn't need him in there.
Yeah, you gotta have him in there.
There's something soft about his performance. He's like... for someone named Mad Dog, when he's not fighting, he's like very casual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he's dragging the body to the elevator.
He's dragging Jaka to the elevator.
Yeah. And just he just like, looks at the like other guy.
Like he's carrying his laundry.
Yeah. And he looks at the other guy and he says something casual. He says like, yeah, any luck? Like, you know, he's just sort of talking to him.
Right. Like he looks at Andy and he's like, what, you didn't get anybody? He's like, well, you got the wrong cop. He's like, I don't know. This looks like a cop to me. It's like, well, you fucked up. That's the wrong guy. And he's like, well, I don't care. I'm going to take this upstairs to him anyway.
Like, yeah. He's real chill.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what he does in his spare time.
He beats people. I don't know what he does. Enters into fight clubs in Indonesia.
I guess.
Must be, right?
Yeah.
I feel like he just fights all the time. He has to.
I could see him being into painting or something, too.
Oh, yeah. Or like EDM.
Yeah, there's something... Yeah,
he's,
EDM,
like, he's like a
for
DJ.
Sure.
He's a DJ on the weekends.
Oh, my God. He is, isn't he? He's a DJ.
He must be, yeah.
There's like a weird calmness about him that he feels like he's got his life all figured out. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not fighting because has something to prove. He just likes it.
He just loves it. Yeah,
it's
just,
centers
he can't
him.
Get enough of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just loves to fight dudes.
Yeah, he really does. Good for him. I'm happy for him.
Oh yeah, me too. Man, this movie when did you see this movie? Because I remember this hit theaters kind of, it was like a slow rollout. I don't think it was ever in a massively wide release, but the word of mouth of this movie
really I never
built
saw it in
very
theaters.
Fast.
Yeah.
I missed it in theaters, but a lot of my friends had seen it and they're like, you have to see it. So like we rented it as soon as it came out and I was like, fuck this. I have to own this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I remember the word of mouth around this movie was just incredible.
It's one of those movies that's entirely dependent on the people in it, on the action.
Mm-hmm.
It's the right combination because, like, Gareth Edwards, obviously, like, he knows.
Evans.
Is it Gareth Evans?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Wait. No, that's the guy I was thinking of. Sorry. Sorry, mm-hmm. everyone. Mm-hmm. He obviously knows how to shoot things. How to shoot a movie.
Yeah, he apparently, his wife is Japanese Indonesian, and he went to Indonesia to make a documentary about Penchak Silat, which is the martial arts that Ika Uwais and Yeon are using.
Oh.
And he just found Ika, like, working at, like, let me see here. I had it written down.
Well,
he was working as a delivery man for a phone company.
Wow. Isn't this always how it starts?
Yeah. So he met these guys. He made that first movie, Miratu. Have you seen that?
No, I know he made something before that as well.
Mirantau. I'm sorry, Mirantau. It's kind of a, it's got, it stars Ika Uwais. It's kind of about, I mean, it's another crime movie. It's about these English, basically slave traders. Like they're it's sex trafficking, and Ika Uwais has to bust it up. So he wrote another movie to follow that up, and the movie he originally wrote was The Raid 2, but it was too, they couldn't make it. It was too expensive.
Oh, that makes sense. This movie definitely has that clever indie feel where every hallway is clearly the same set
in every room.
Yeah. But they dress it enough.
Mm-hmm.
In like the hallway, they change the numbers. They do enough where you're like, you sort of know, but you also don't care because you're like, right. Oh, I get it.
Yeah,
good,
they had
good idea.
That they had one hallway and one room, but it's done so well.
Yeah, for sure. The way they shoot it, you can't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel that way.
No, like, it doesn't.
And that's really cool.
Yeah. In fact, it never occurred to me until, I forget what we were talking about, but Abe brought it up. He was like, oh, yeah, they're clearly just using the same room over and over again.
Oh,
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess they would, wouldn't they?
Yeah, the hallway occurred to me this time. The room didn't.
Yeah.
Because they dressed the room enough, but obviously, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you set it in this, like an apartment building like this.
Mm-hmm.
He went on to do the VHS 2, if people have, like, need context for this director. He did the VHS 2 where they go to the cult,
mm-hmm.
And there's the guy, I think Mad Dog is there, isn't he?
Mad Dog is not there. It's a guy. It is a guy from The Raid 2.
Okay.
There's actually two actors from The Raid 2 in it.
Okay, I need to watch that again. It's the one from VHS 2 that everybody knows and loves. He mm-hmm. went on to, obviously, The Raid 2, but also Apostle.
Apostle, which is really good.
Which is very good. That everybody should see if they like a good horror movie. And it makes sense that he would do horror movies because of what we're talking about. Because this movie
mm-hmm.
has, it's sinister like a horror movie.
It is. He said he sort of scripted and envisioned this movie as a survival horror film.
Yeah. It reminds me of like Green Room.
Mm-hmm.
Because Green Room, different plot. But the tone feels the same. It's that we're trapped. We have to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to make that scary, you have to make the violence very, even if it's outlandish, because dealing with martial arts, there's a level, you know, they put a bomb in a goddamn fridge. They do a reverse Indiana Jones.
That scene is so cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Because it's one of those action things where you're like, I said a reverse Indiana Jones, but it's not like nuking the fridge, because when they nuking the fridge, you're like, oh, there's no way that could work. In this, I'm like, maybe?
Right, they put a bomb in
work?
They're trapped in a room. There's guys trying to bust in through the door, so they put a bomb in the fridge, spin the fridge around, and point the front of it at the door, and then dive out of the way as it explodes.
Yeah.
I think that might work.
Yeah. I'm sure it won't. Like, I'm sure.
Right, yeah, I'm sure it would just blast the fridge apart and fling shrapnel into the room. Yeah.
But it's a not, like, it's that thing where it, this movie, that's a perfect, like, that perfectly represents the entire movie because it's all that. It's all like this, I don't know, maybe?
It's not all quite that, but it's a lot of frantic desperation.
Yeah, but combined with stuff that feels realistic but is somehow also outlandish.
Right.
And so, going back to Green Room, it's the fact that it's having, you know, Green Room has dogs attacking people and chewing their necks, which is something that you can also see in a comedy, like a dog attacking a person. Yeah. Like, it's a broad enough thing that you can deliver that from anywhere from kind of funny to, no, this is what it would actually look like.
Yeah, it'd be awful.
Yeah, and that's sort of the same here, which mm-hmm. is that the fighting is very outlandish, but it results in very real injuries.
Yeah, really gruesome.
Really gruesome.
Man, I'm just thinking of different moments in the film now.
What's your favorite?
Oh man.
I mean,
it's hard to say. There's
that.
So many great action sequences that one we were just talking about when they have to chop through the floor and go down into another room. And then that's when the fridge bomb happens. Both of Mad Dog's fights, obviously the drug lab fight, the big drug lab melee.
Oh yeah. That's pretty delightful.
So
that
excellent.
One, I always forget when I rewatch this, but it's great.
it's like the last big one. I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, before the boss fight.
Oh, right. Before the boss fight with Mad Dog. Yeah.
Right. And then the bad guys just sort of work themselves out.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense. Because we haven't really talked about the plot, but if you forget, at least, the general plot is the main character is trying to get his brother out of this place because his brother is a thug. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of, that's why there's that blurred lines, because the police are kind of are dicks and the criminals are obviously dicks, and you learn that the Vincent D'Onofrio
the bad lieutenant
he has, it's a political thing,
right? It's like an underworld politics thing. He wants to kill this drug dealer so that he can take his place in the underworld hierarchy,
right? But they're vague about it, and mm-hmm. they tell you as much as you need to know, because it's not about that.
Not
it's
really,
the
no.
thing that causes it, but we don't really need to know. It's just about these two brothers
mm-hmm.
Just kind of dealing with their shit. And so at the end, the bad cop leads the bad guy out and just sort of gives up. He gets talked into suicide, basically. The bad guy tells him, like, you think this is going to make you the... a big guy. No, they're going to kill you for this.
They're just going to kill you.
Yeah, they set this as a trap.
Yeah.
They wanted you dead. And so he shoots the bad guy. And I'm not entirely clear why he tries to kill himself. I mean, I get...
Because he's fucked. Like, he's...
Yeah, I mean,
Rama's
I get that.
Rama's still alive, and, like, everybody's going to know what happened. So he's like, well, shit.
I get that, but I also... nothing in his personality made me think that was going to happen.
Right, he seemed like the sort of guy who would, like, run away.
Yeah.
Because he's a coward.
Because that's what he did earlier.
Yeah,
I think
a coward.
His character is kind of the weakest of the movie.
Yeah.
But again, it's nice and simple. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to say it's not about the characters, because that's
very
not
much
true.
Is. Yeah, yeah.
It is and it isn't, because it's about watching the fight scenes, but it's also, they give you enough that you care about the main character and want him to get out of there.
Right. I think you can't underestimate how much having a decent to strong character base in your film adds to how well the film performs, like how much people enjoy
it. Yeah.
Like, you may not think about it that much.
Right.
But the fact that we do have characters that are well acted and have a lot of personality to them. Like, if they were all just boring actors, like, we wouldn't love Mad Dog as much. We wouldn't care about Rama mm-hmm. getting his brother out.
That's really it, is that a lot of this stuff, you could never look at the script for this and understand how good of a movie it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think they overcompensated for the main character, because they have his pregnant wife.
Yeah.
which I honestly don't think we needed that in this. It didn't hurt it to have it, but they were clearly trying to like really hammer in like, yeah, you want this guy to get out.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I kind of do already because he's a good actor and he's making me like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big part of this movie is just kind of...
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, just the quiet performances of a lot of these people. Just a few glances here and there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very understated. Like yeah, but it's very good. Yeah, and I agree with that. I think there's value to it because it establishes the stakes for him. Like, he's really risking a lot to try to get his brother out of this.
That's true, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know that we necessarily needed it, but it certainly doesn't hurt the movie.
No, and it gives him something to sort of... He flashes to images of his wife throughout, mm-hmm. Kind of as a reminder of, like, what's, you know, why he wants to get the hell out of this literal, like, hellhole that he's in.
And then he winds up not getting his brother out. Like, Andy stays. Like, he's like, no, I'm just going to stay here and run this shit now that everybody's dead.
Yeah, and I guess that this was a question that I think we should ask in all of these episodes, which is, mm-hmm. as it stands now, if you didn't know there was another, would you feel like this needed a sequel?
No.
All right. Purely narrative speaking, I agree with you, no.
Right. That's how I was answering it. From fucking martial arts badassery and cool action sequences, yes, it needs 100 sequels.
Yeah, and it's a hard question for that reason. Like John Wick, for example, is another one where the first John Wick, you're like, oh, it could just be this.
It could be, or we could get five more of them.
Right, but I would argue also, and especially since what you told me that he wrote The Raid 2 first, is that the movie does do enough. It almost has some... not loose ends, but it alludes to larger things,
mm-hmm.
much like John Wick does.
Yeah,
that it. I would almost say, even narratively speaking, it seems like it knows its part. It's going to be a sequel. It's going to be at least a two-parter.
Yeah, like it definitely ends in a way where there could easily be a sequel.
And the way the bad guys talk about the crime world, like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
He mentions a name that we don't really know. It just...
Yeah, we actually don't see... Reza. We don't see him until the second movie.
Right. And that's why it feels like there's got to be a second movie. Because there's a little bit of like, oh, who's this guy? Who's mm-hmm. the people pulling the strings? What is this weird crime world that we've been thrown into?
Yeah.
Similar to how the John Wick stuff where you're like, what the fuck is all of this? What coins? What are these? Where you kind of want more? It's a neat way to do a sequel,
mm-hmm,
or to set up a sequel because the movie is very self-contained. It's the same with Dredd, who that's very much a similar film to this,
mm-hmm.
where
it came out the same year, I believe.
Really?
I think so.
That's so weird. Yeah, where the story is so self-contained, you could technically end it. But the world feels larger as you're watching it, and you kind of want more. And I don't know, Raid 2. I don't remember anything about it.
Oh, that's going to be fun. The hottest of hot takes is I actually like the Raid 2 more than I like this one.
Oh wow,
they're very different.
Here's the thing: is this is also a series that they got a lot done with the budget they had in this one. Do you mm-hmm. know what the budget was for this?
No, but I can pull it up real quick.
Do it. What I was going to say is they got a lot done with the budget, but it kind of screams, it begs for a bigger budget.
$1.1 million.
Yeah, that's more than I thought. It's again, I hate to keep comparing it to John Wick. It's just that they're both actions movies that have simple enough plots where they know what they are.
Right. They're both like what you just said, but with incredibly tight choreography, and they're beautifully shot.
Yeah, and so you want a big budget because, or like The Matrix is another good example, actually, even though that was supposed to be standalone, where you watch the movie and you're like, man, I want to see what they can do with triple the budget. I want to see what they can do with like a huge budget. I want to see, give these people a car chase. You know, give them a rooftop. Mm-hmm. Give them set pieces.
Oh, do you not remember the car chase in the Raid 2?
I do. That's why I said it.
Yeah.
It's that idea is like, oh, this is like, this movie is almost like an audition, which is like,
kind of,
look what we can fucking do. Give us some money and we're going to do so much more. Are they making a third one?
They were going to, but I think as of right now, they're not. The next thing Gareth Evans is making is a series called Gangs of London that I think all these guys are going to be in.
Okay, I also saw that he's attached to the Deathstroke movie.
Really?
Yeah, which look. Good for him, but it's rumored, and like I think that should be a hard pass because I think he's got something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he could just keep doing what he's doing. It's he has another movie called Blister where the plot is unknown, but it's described as an action drama, which sounds like, you know, his jam. I'd rather see him go like basically ping pong back and forth from the Raid and Apostle, you know, like tonally.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he's very good at this genre. That said, I'm sure he would bring a lot to a fucking Deathstroke movie.
Oh, yeah.
It just seems, I don't know. It's fine. It's fine. It's that thing where it's just, you know, when a director is making some other project like that and you're like, oh, no. Like, you need to make more of this for me. Don't do that. Like,
make the thing that I like.
Yeah, you're gonna spend like a whole year on that, and I'm sure it will be good, but it won't be. I assume they won't make it ultra violent. I don't know.
I mean, unless they do, I don't know.
Yeah. At the same time, it would be a great opportunity to get this group of people even more in the mainstream, because I guess the one thing you could fault this movie for is that it's. It's an unfortunate part of this movie is that it's not for everyone because of how violent it is.
Yes.
And it's otherwise the choreography is beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's this mixture. Like again, it's feels again sloppy and desperate, but really skilled at the same time. The stunts feel very genuine for that reason. Like when someone jumps on a guy and he flips him over his back and throws him on a table, it feels more like pro wrestling sometimes.
Yes, yeah, particularly when Crazy Eyes tackles him out, they fall out the window together.
Yeah, yeah, it's those sort of stunts where you're like, man, I'm not quite sure if they meant to do that. Like, I mean, the window, yeah. I hope they meant to do that. But, like, yeah, some of the falls. There's a part where they're fighting Mad Dog, and, like, they both dogpile him, like, against the wall. And it just feels so, like, it feels so natural, so organic and panicked.
Yeah, it's like, like I said, the tone of, like, every fight in this movie is oh shit, oh shit, oh shit.
Yeah, exactly. Except for it's oh shit, oh shit, oh shit coming from everybody but Mad Dog.
But Mad Dog, right. Mad Dog's like, cool.
Yeah, he's just like, I've been waiting so long.
I've been waiting
for this
my
happen.
Whole life for there this.
The twist should have been that he tipped off the cops because he was bored. Because he was just like, I haven't gotten to fight anybody. I just kill them immediately. And I heard about these fucking ninja cops. And I need
get some
them
of those
here.
Ninja cops in here.
There's fucking ninja cops. See, like, in this world, do you think there's like the government gives you money if you don't know martial arts, where they like
it gives
step
you like
in.
A grant so you can go learn it, maybe.
Yeah, that's a world I want to live in.
Same, man. Same.
Yeah. Is this a? I mean, besides the martial arts, again, you remember the Raid 2 more than me. I'm trying to think about the world itself.
Yeah.
Because I know we definitely see more of the world itself.
Oh, yeah, it's blown out. It's a lot like the difference between John Wick and John Wick 2.
Okay, is it like a hyper-reality? Is it...
Somewhat,
Okay. I would love...
Not to the degree of John Wick, but...
Yeah, I would love for there to be a scene where they're, like, fighting, and they fight, like... They like, one of them throws the other guy in a bakery, and the baker just starts fighting them, too.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, yeah, no, everybody knows martial arts.
Try to pull a random
universe.
Guy out of his car to steal it, and that guy starts doing karate.
Yeah, fuck it.
Not karate,
why not?
But, you know, martial arts.
Yeah, why not? Why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, why not? Who cares? No, no, it's not the. It's not on that level.
Okay.
It's oh, man, I'm excited to talk about it because it's I mean, it's still an action movie, an action martial arts movie, but it's like, it's also more of a crime thriller.
Yeah, I remember enough of it to know, like the scene at the beginning of this where he's shooting the people one by one in the head. Mm-hmm. I know there's a similar scene in The Raid too.
There is.
Which is a great, it's that scene is fucking haunting.
Yeah.
Again, it's horror action, I guess, is the genre. They call it, they're calling it more of drama action, but
mm-hmm.
It feels like a horror action film.
There's definitely horror elements to it, so it's not surprising that Gareth Evans did make a horror film.
Yeah, it's shot like from somebody who's made a lot of horror films, which he hadn't. Like, it has the sensibilities of a horror director, as opposed to an action director.
Mm-hmm. I will say though that the Raid 2 is a beautiful film. It's we're going to talk a lot about that, but it just looks so good.
Yeah, man, I'm very excited to watch that.
Yeah, man, it's great. There's one other thing I wanted to ask. This movie comes in two versions that you can watch. One with the original score, and another with the score done by Mike Shinoda.
Who's Mike Shinoda?
Mike Shinoda is the DJ from Linkin Park.
Oh, huh.
And
why did they do that?
For the American release, to give it, you know.
Mm.
But I prefer Mike Shinoda's soundtrack.
Really? What version did I watch?
I'm not sure.
There was two versions on the Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I clicked the one that was not like the special director's version, even though that was, or the unrated version, even though that was the version I was more interested in, I decided to go with what they put out originally.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the score. It was very effective. It was very atmospheric. I'm glad you brought it up because I got like maybe 3/4 of the way through the movie before I realized that a huge part of what I was feeling had to do with how creepy the score was.
Mm-hmm.
Because that plays into the horror.
It does, yeah.
So,
for sure.
Yeah, I'm curious which version I saw. Maybe it was Linkin Park guy.
It might have been.
So you've watched both.
Was it electronic?
Yeah.
Then it was probably the Mike Shinoda score.
Oh.
It's so he doesn't score The Raid 2, but it clearly had an effect on the filmmakers because the score that they do have in The Raid 2 is very similar to Mike Shinoda's score in the first one.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
That's neat.
Yeah,
I kind of want to watch both.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch both for sure.
Yeah. People should watch both and maybe watch each on your own and then play them both at the same time.
Ideally, yeah.
Yeah. See what kind of fucked up noise you get out of that. It's not going to match up or anything. It's just going to be awful.
Yeah, see if it syncs up to Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, yeah. Put Dark Side of the Moon on as well.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, and just crank it all
what
up.
What if The Raid syncs up perfectly to Dark Side of the Moon?
I would like to think that there's a filmmaker out there who, because of that trope, has done it to their film.
It feels exhausting, but yeah.
Yeah, that does feel exhausting, and I bet that's never actually happened. I want it to be true.
I want this to be true, but I know that it's not.
Yeah, no mainstream director could argue like with the producer, like, no, we can't cut that shot because it doesn't sync up then. And the producer's just like, yeah, you're fired. Get out of here.
Yeah, no, this has to sync up to when the cash register sound starts.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man, The Raid.
Yeah, the fucking Raid. So
it's
it's a great movie. It's one of my favorites, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have any, I mean, we're nearing the end here. You have any final thoughts on The Raid?
No, just the guy that plays Jaka, Joe Taslim, okay. is going to play Sub-Zero in James Wan's Mortal Kombat movie.
Oh, good for him.
That fully rules.
That does. Man, I am excited for Mortal Kombat.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that said, I would have liked this guy to do it. I would like...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, if it was just everybody involved in the raid doing Mortal Kombat, that
would
be...
Well, you got one of the guys.
Yeah, you got one.
Yeah, one of the guys.
That's better than nothing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but still, like, they must have tried asking these people, right? They must have... Like, if you're making a Mortal Kombat movie...
Yeah, you'd probably ask this dude.
Yeah, you'd go for Gareth Evans. Like, mm-hmm. who? Like, that's their best choice. I mean, again, I'm sure it'll be fine. It's Mortal Kombat. I don't think you could make a bad Mortal Kombat movie. Nobody can prove me wrong.
Nope. There is zero evidence.
There's zero evidence that you could ever make a bad Mortal Kombat movie. So, I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the raid.
That's the raid, you guys.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed our calm, yeah.
our soothing, conversation. Insightful conversation about the raid. We're still figuring the show out, but
what's to figure out?
Yeah.
We talk about movies. Yeah, I guess as we go, because spoilers, you guys, there's going to be a lot of these.
There's going to be several of these, yeah.
Yeah, for many months, every month, we're going to pick out a duology. We've been given a list. Mm-hmm. The list has been developed by our Patreon producer, as well as our Patreon producer consulting other Patreon listeners on movies they'd like us to cover. And we've been given an extensive list to choose from. Tom, you only saw batch one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very big list coming our way of movies to pick from. And I don't know how we're going to pick them. I like the idea of us picking movies that we like, but I also like the idea of picking movies that are so incredibly bad that they're worth talking about.
Yeah.
And I think we'll, it's weird because I think the first episode will kind of be like this, us talking about the first movie,
mm-hmm.
and then the second episode we'll talk about the series as a whole more, because, you know, it's hard to see the big picture yet,
mm-hmm.
Because we've only watched half of the Raid movies.
That's
very
true.
Exciting.
Yeah. Very exciting. I don't know what the future holds apart from the Raid 2. That's definitely, the future definitely is holding that right now. But other than that, I can't see. It's got its other hand behind its back. Who knows what's mm-hmm. in it?
Who knows what's in that hand? It
could be
a
knife.
Could
be Gak, yeah.
Could be a Gak-covered knife. Imagine some motherfucker whipping that on you.
Stabbing you with Gak. What kind of evil son of a bitch does that?
What the fuck?
The hell is your problem?
Duology Theater is brought to you by Gamefully Unemployed. Check out our cool shit at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed.